it's the most wonderful time of the year, Anthony. Friends, family members, good food, holiday spirit.
Yeah, but no new episodes if we have concerns.
Oh, no. Why would we want to ruin it with that?
We are taking a little bit of time off at the end of this month from the 24th to the 4th of December. There won't be any new episodes.
Yeah, but the good news is there are a lot of old episodes.
That's right. And we're trying to find the best episodes of 2017. You can help us out by heading to weHaveConcerns.com/clash and just listen to those old episodes the same way you would listen to those voicemails you saved from an old significant other you broke up with. It'll make you feel for a little while like we're there. Maybe it'll make you a little sadder in the end, but we'll get what we want out of it, much as they did after they left you. weHaveConcerns.com/clash. If the film is poorly made, small screens where it's at.
Yeah.
This is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens.
Knowledge.
It's power. That's what I know.
It is power. This is a really fascinating story, one that really sparked my imagination. It was posted on our subreddit by someone whose name
WeHaveConcerns.reddit.com. You can also submit stories to facebook.com/groups/WeHaveConcerns or to WeHaveConcernsShow@gmail.com. Do not submit them to Twitter. They will disappear into Twitter forever, and that will be the end of them.
This story was posted on our subreddit by Jeff_Rose.
Jeff_Rose.
Yeah, the old underscore comes through again.
That's weHaveConcerns.reddit.com. We also appreciate it when you send stories to facebook.com/group/WeHaveConcerns or to weHaveConcernsShow@gmail.com. We literally do not appreciate it when you send them to Twitter. Sorry.
Yeah, no, they just disappear. You a lot.
Because like you gotta take the link and put it into a no.
You just don't.
Don't.
It's more
it
on
disappears.
Us, really, our laziness.
It's more on us.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you
it's
know.
It's an impermanent medium.
Sometimes stuff just scrolls by on my feed and then it's gone. Yep. That's all I'm saying.
This is
Jeff
a really,
the underscore knows that.
He does. You don't have to tell him.
No.
This is an article in Quartz about the distinction between knowing and understanding. And I've just
it was written by Confucius.
It's also about trees and woods and when they fall. Mm-hmm. I love this because I'm a word guy anyway. And they start with the fact that these two very distinct concepts are often used interchangeably.
Right.
And that's not good. And it's often used interchangeably by people who should know better and who really it's problematic that they don't know better, i.e. scientists or people that are trying to convey very complex information.
Yeah. Right. So this is sort of like, whenever I think about this, I think about the beginning of Brave New World. And in Brave New World, there's that thing where they're trying to, before they actually breed people to be specifically for a part of society, they talk about the early experiments, and Huxley talks about subliminal experimentation on children, where they at night make kids listen to recordings of facts about the Nile River.
Right.
And when they're asked a fact that's like, hey, so tell me about the Nile River. They're like, I don't know anything about the Nile River. And it's like, well, how long is the Nile River? And the kid like robotically is like, the Nile River is in Egypt. It is the longest, you know?
Right.
That's what I sort of feel like, because I think about the things that we learn, quote unquote, learn in school that people can parrot at you, but they don't really know what it means. The mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
100%.
What does that mean, dude?
Or 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Well, that one, I feel like you can say it and know it and also understand what it means. It means Columbus sailed on the ocean in the year 1490. Like that.
I don't understand what sailing is.
Okay. See,
there you go.
That's the thing. We're taking this stuff for granted and you can never do that.
So this is a really interesting distinction to be made between having facts and, you know, that's not even taken for granted anymore in today's world. And we've talked.
Do you need 30 seconds?
Oh, don't even know, because
it's not,
it's
we
not
can't,
enough.
We can't Jeff's political corner this week.
It's not enough, dude. I will explode. But the The by the way, somebody on Twitter told me like is like you don't have 30 seconds. You got to do a whole episode about the judge. It's this judge that Trump confirmed that
has never worked in a courtroom.
Literally never never adjudicated anything.
20 seconds.
Yeah, he lied. He said he worked as a Ghostbuster, as a fucking paranormal investigator, and then he lied about. They said, "Have you ever had anything that would cause you to compromise anybody that you know or any relatives?" His fucking wife worked for the White House.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
That's Jeff's political corner.
Makes me explode. Okay, so we already know that facts, even just getting facts into people's skull at this point, is not easy. But it's worse than that, because even when you have facts, knowing something isn't enough. It is actually a very poor state to be in, because it actually causes you to believe things that are completely not true, because you don't actually have an understanding of where those facts came from they mean.
We talk about this a lot, I think indirectly on this show, when we talk about sort of science reporting and science headlines and shorter articles that try to take on larger topics, because what happens is you wind up condensing down, and this is something that I fought to try not to do myself when I was doing DNews, was if you oversimplify something, the subtext disappears.
Right.
And then people will say like, oh yeah, it's like calling something global warming. And then people don't really know what global warming means. And they go, well, it's getting colder.
Right.
What do you mean global
warming?
Can't
be global warming if it's getting colder. Yeah. Well, that's actually the example this article uses as well, is they say, even people who are woke to the idea of global warming, which
hashtag
is
woke,
already a sub group of the people out there. You already have to convince people of that, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But even in that group, you can have people that say, yes, I understand that global temperatures are tied to fossil fuels, to the burning of fossil fuels.
Right.
Knowable thing. But do you understand why that is? Do you understand what is actually happening, that it's carbon dioxide that is being released into the atmosphere, how that
interacts? In the form of dinosaur ghosts that are angry at us?
Right. Do you understand that we have infuriated the ancient dinosaur gods?
The terrible thunder lizards?
Yes, that God put in the ground to confuse us? Do you understand that that is all just a cycle of hate and rage that has been buried very shallowly beneath Earth's crust?
You desecrate the ancient burial grounds of the terrible thunder lizards, and they will cause global warming.
Right. It's easy to know that.
It's easy to know that.
But to understand them?
To understand the process by which the ghost of a dinosaur causes global warming.
Right. It's hard to grok.
Yeah.
You know, it's not
grok,
easy.
Grok, of course, being the most angry of the terrible thunder lizard ghosts.
Yeah. You don't want to mess with grok.
No.
Especially not on a Thursday. It's grok's...
Yeah, why is that?
That's Grok's relaxation day. It's his me day. You know, he takes a time to just relax and just live one for Grok. You know, you don't want to talk to him then.
No.
Can't be talked to.
Fair enough.
Anyway, this to me, I think, is a huge thing that nobody really talks about. And they are making the distinction that even in scientific papers, where they use these terms interchangeably, that they can just lay out facts and think that's enough, rather than laying out a clear path to understanding, like we were talking about, like these science stories where it's like, here's the thing, and then you and I on this show are reading these stories like, but why? Yeah,
if you can't answer the but why,
you haven't done your job.
You haven't done it. Yeah. Whether the researchers can't answer the but why, or the journalists can't answer the but why, or we can't answer it,
right?
That becomes a problem, because Then you're just learning water cooler facts. You're learning things to argue about online. You're learning things that you want to make you sound impressive when you're giving a presentation or talking to friends or something like that.
Right.
But you are no wiser than you were going in.
Right. And you brought up the idea of the public education system, which is immediately where my mind went with this as well, because I feel like the public education system did me a disservice and continues to do a disservice to generations of kids by emphasizing the knowing and not emphasizing the understanding.
Right.
And I think with the examples that we brought up, like it really is storytelling at a certain point. There's a narrative to be woven that A, makes it more interesting anyway and less dry and rote and boring, and B, lets you into the understanding of the reasoning behind everything in a much clearer way. If I don't have to just understand that, you know, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, or photosynthesis, like I know the facts of photosynthesis, but like, why, you know, from an evolutionary perspective, sure. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's the, plants are more prone to seasonal affective disorder than humans are.
Right.
So, whereas like with humans, it's like, oh, the days are getting shorter and it's winter, and over time that causes me to become depressed. With a plant, it's a much shorter cycle because plants don't live as long.
Right.
And so, which is why, very long living plants like trees actually don't operate on photosynthesis. They have hearts like human beings.
That beat.
Yeah. That
beat. That's why when you're in the forest and you get real quiet, you can hear the thump, thump, thump of the heartbeat of the trees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah. So, but small plants, of course, use photosynthesis.
Yeah.
And what happens there is every day when the sun goes down, plants get just irritable and tired. But, you know, you could describe it as sad, but that's not really it. It's more of like a lethargic and a lack of care.
Like a melancholy.
Is how I would explain it. Anyway, the mitochondria especially is the powerhouse of the cell.
Especially when it's actual melons. It's actual melons. They get real melancholy.
Yeah. So anyway, that's photosynthesis.
Yeah.
Do you get it now?
Still no.
Okay.
But I'm closer a little bit.
And that's all you can hope for.
Yeah. But I've
especially in these shorter winter days where I get so tired,
you get so plant-like,
of like discussing things so quickly.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, a little bit at a time.
So true. Yeah.
But no, I get what you're saying. It's one of those things where as long as you can parrot it back well enough to pass a test.
Right.
Or, you know, take a quiz, you're good.
Right. And that's what I think is the problem, that, you know, we have these layers of problem, right? We have the people that sort of abjectly reject facts or choose their own truth, which is a completely different episode, and a very real problem. But even in the people who consider themselves informed or like to intend to be informed, there is this headlinification of information where I just know a thing, but I don't understand the thing.
Yeah, and I think my biggest issue with that is when you learn a top line concept about something, like you said, when you don't understand the complexity behind it, you only learn the thesis statement.
Right.
And so you internalize whatever your understanding of that statement is. And the problem with that is that then makes you more rigid and resistant to new research that questions those ideas.
Right.
Because you don't have a super deep understanding of something, you cling to the understanding that you have.
Exactly. In fact, what you're pointing out is absolutely the case, that understanding cause and effect, when you get to the progression of knowledge, when you get to understanding that A comes from B, which comes from C, which comes from D, and you understand where that all, the chain of knowledge and how it's interconnected, you are actually more facile and more liquid in your belief system because you understand that one ripple affects all the other chains.
I think we have a fear of complexity. I really do. I think we have this, we have an order of operations in our own lives. We have an idea of what is important in our own lives. We have an idea of how much time we have.
Yeah.
And we have a prioritization that comes with that. And I think we fear complexity because, do I have the time to delve in deep to this scientific concept, political concept, philosophical concept?
Right.
When I have so many other things to do.
Yeah.
Do I? And then it also feels kind of, the more you understand the complexity of something, the more put off you are by the idea of taking the time to learn it when it doesn't feel as super important to you.
Yeah.
You know, you get into some, it's sort of like, you remember what, like everybody, I think universally, when they are 11 or 12, decides that they're going to learn to play the guitar.
Right.
It's anywhere between the ages of 11 and 14. We all decide that we're going to play the guitar.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the piano or whatever it is. But we all decide it. And we go to our first lesson and we buy a sick guitar. And our guitar teacher teaches us like Ode to Joy. And we're like, holy shit, I'm playing a thing.
Yeah, right.
And then you come back the next week and the difficulty ramps up, right?
Yeah.
And you start understanding that like you don't really know how to play Ode to Joy. You're just parroting this thing back.
Yeah.
And
no, that's a great
analogy.
The way
this ends is usually 6 months later, so many of us have dusty guitars in the corner of our room because we learned how complex it actually is to play the guitar and to learn to read music. And we went, fuck that. I'm happy learning the three chords to the song that I wanted to learn how to play to begin with. And I'll pull that out at parties.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a great analogy. It's the progress that I had as a kid playing the piano or even now, sadly, but
you're decent at the guitar though.
I appreciate that. And that was a different situation, but you know, you go like, oh, I want to play that.
Yeah.
Okay. How do I play that? And they're like, okay, well, here's how to read music. And here's how, you know, here's where you put your hands and here's the C chord. And no. I want to learn how to play that.
Yeah.
You know, tell me how to play Let It Be. I want to play Let It Be.
And it's interesting because it's not a bad reflex, right?
Yeah.
You know what you want to do. You know your end goal. I want to play Let It Be.
Right.
Show me how to play Let It Be.
Yeah. Well, first the dinosaurs came.
Yeah.
And then they died and, you know, it's that old airplane bit.
Right.
But
I think we have to, if, especially in the education system or science communication, you have to learn how to harness that and use it and be okay with it.
Right.
And then jump off, teach people to jump off and want to, well, now you know how to play Let It Be. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it weird how in Let It Be, like, your hand kind of goes from here to here and it doesn't make the sound that you thought it would based on the rest of the song.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Like, it's okay to want to know the thesis statement of something, to want the Reader's Digest executive summary. Somebody read Malcolm Gladwell's Blink so I don't have to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
It's okay, but then what we need to do is, if you're in the education or communication part of this thing, learn how to see that, recognize it, and get people interested in the next step.
Yeah.
And if you are the person who is learning, you need to learn how to figure out a kid who really changed my life when I was in high school was Tracy Jones, who was this kid who was he was an amazing, like, at the age of 17, he could freestyle and just like write songs and just he was unbelievable, like an amazing MC at the age of 17. And I was like, this is unbelievable, this guy is such a talent. And I watched him reading a book one time, and he's the guy who reads the book with the dictionary next to him. When he sees a word he doesn't know or a concept that he doesn't understand, highlights it, looks it up, writes it down, and like internalizes it, because he knew that having that understanding would make him better at what he wanted to do.
He's building his arsenal.
Exactly. We need to learn to get past the, I don't have enough time to learn about this and it doesn't really matter, and learn to get back into, well, if you want to learn about it enough to read the article to yell about it, then you're obviously a little bit interested in it.
Yeah.
Now, as you're reading the article, learn to take a deep breath, be okay with the fact that you're taking 10 minutes to read the article, and try to find those things that interest you in the article and be like, it's okay, I'm going to have to learn three things to understand this article.
You know, one of the things, I think my dad used to say this, but I know a lot of people have said it, is if you really want to understand something, teach it to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you have to literally like step someone else through.
Yeah.
And you realize what you don't know, and just the mere act of organizing information in a way that's clear to someone else gives you a clarity on it that's really powerful and shows that you understand how to navigate through that information. When I used to do in college, when I had to write a thesis paper or something, buddies and I would just stand around and like talk it out with each other, you know, just like, okay, here's what I think I'm going to write and here's why. And then they'd be like, well, why is that? And then you'd talk, oh shit. Yeah. Okay. So in the process of like thinking it out and expressing it to someone else who didn't know, it basically wrote your paper for you.
Yeah.
You
Yeah, I don't know what it is where... I don't know. We have... Here's what's crazy. When you have a discussion like that, it's such a good time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It really is.
What's crazy is like,
yeah,
we are in such a hurry and we're like, I don't know. I don't need to know about this. I don't want to know this, or I don't have time, or this person has a different opinion or has a different understanding of it than me. And I don't like what he's saying about it. And yeah. So like now it's an argument. What's crazy is like a discussion where you're learning and figuring things out is a genuinely like the most interesting time you can have.
That is so true, man.
And
that is so true.
I don't know why we're so afraid of it. I don't know if it's being afraid of looking wrong or being embarrassed or,
yeah,
or just not, or like I said, just maybe it's just like not wanting to get into it.
Well, there's like an aloofness that is somehow perceived as being cool, like the detached.
Yeah. Or the less you say or the less you want to discuss something, the more it seems like you know. And like, maybe we want to be authorities.
Yeah.
I was listening to something where it was like, and this may be a very cultural thing here, because I was listening to something the other day that was very interesting that said, America is based on a culture of respect.
Hmm.
I demand respect.
Yeah.
I should be respected.
Rather than giving
who
respect.
Who should I respect? Do I need to respect you? Hmm. Who is in the chain of authority and command? Who should be respected? And we're always chasing, I want to be respected in my field. I want to be respected by my peers.
Right.
Whereas in other cultures, it's more about being understood or being good at the thing or...
Huh.
Yeah. And I think there is an economy of respect. And when you fall into the trap of the economy of respect, it becomes a much more, I don't want to learn about
surface level.
Yeah. It becomes more surface level because then you can get away with more. Maybe. I don't know.
It's an interesting distinction and one I haven't really thought enough about. And I love that people do interchange the terms knowing and understanding. And they're very, very distinct concepts that shouldn't be.
Let me tell you something. As somebody who has been in science communication and in reporting for, God, what, 5 years now? 6 years now?
Yeah.
I know a lot of things that I don't understand.
Right.
Because I also understand that my job is to clearly communicate these things.
Well, that's kind of what
my job
is
to like, yeah.
We're kind of like, we read something and now we know it, but now it's the process of us kind of hashing it out and figuring it out and going, what does that mean?
I find that people... especially the people that know me from science video stuff, when they come up to me and they talk to me and they're like, what do you think about this? And I'm like, oh, I don't know anything about that. They get like almost offended that they learned something from me when I don't understand a lot of the things that they understand.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I call three or four guys. It's journalism. It's reporting.
Right.
I call three or four people that are experts in the field.
Right.
They explain it to me four different ways and I synthesize it down into one, repeat it back to all four of them and make sure they're good with it.
Yeah.
You know, totally. Like that's part of the job. Right. And I do learn and I do understand a lot more than I did when I came in, but yeah, I don't know. It's a trap, man.
It is.
Knowing versus understanding, it can be a trap to fall into because I've noticed a lot of other people who do similar podcasts or similar things to what we do who don't want to say they don't know.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh, that's a lot less interesting.
Yeah.
And that's where
the understanding is the interesting. Knowing is fairly uninteresting, but understanding is fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And coming to an understanding about something is, I think, like we were saying, the most fun you can have.
Agreed.
And it's a very human thing. We want to learn and we want to grow.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know why we stifle that in ourselves. I don't know. How do you guys feel about this?
Do you understand what we're talking about?
Do you just kind of know what we're talking about? You know what I'm saying? You can hashtag those Dusty Guitar.
There you go.
And let us know on Twitter. I'm at A. Carboni.
I'm at Jeff Cannata.
And hey, if you want to discuss this and other things that you may know or understand or try to understand more things with a community that also wants to understand more things.
I love having our community that wants to understand things.
Facebook.com/groups/wehaveconcerns and wehaveconcerns.reddit.com are the places to go to do that. Also, just a final reminder as we close this up, Clash of Concerns 2017. Wehaveconcerns.com/clash. Help us pick the best episodes of 2017. We're nearly at the end of this year, Jeff.
What?
And it's gone by in such a horrible, unblinking eye of a of a nightmare.
This
blank.
Is what happens to the world when there's no prince in it.
This is a princeless, Bowie-less world that we live in.
That's how it works.
But hey, maybe you had some fun listening to our episodes. And if you did, vote on your favorites at weaveconcerns.com/clash.